Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A week away from Thanksgiving. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Great new product lines, Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, fabulous pre-owned inventory that carries the Sunbury Motors guarantee, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. First of all, before we get to Ross Tucker, our play-by-play call of the day.
Looking towards the end zone, back corner. There is possession. Did he get a foot down? Yes, he did. That's a touchdown for the Jets.
The ruling on the field on the previous play is possession. That ruling was not put down in time to perform an act common to the game. Wow.
Drayton Law of Central Michigan getting that foot down in that four-yard touchdown pass. It was on ESPN last night, but Western Michigan, my old friend Bill Kenny, still the offensive line coach at Western Michigan, they won the game last night, Western did. 52-44. All right, he is one of the best in the business because he doesn't take his talent for granted. He just works all the time. It is great to bring in Ross Tucker. Ross, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, likewise, Steve. I'm glad I was able to get it worked out. I'm on my way to West Point right now. I've got Army and Georgia Southern, a couple of 6-2 teams on Saturday, and then I have already set the channel on my satellite radio. As soon as I'm done with Army and Georgia Southern, I hop in the car to drive back to Harrisburg. I will listen to you and Jack the entire way.
We appreciate that, as always, so much. When you've had a chance to really get a handle on Penn State, when you've looked at it, what are a couple of things that are jumping out to you, Ross?
Obviously the quarterback play. It's hard to believe how much it feels like Sean Clifford has regressed. I don't really have a great explanation why. By all accounts, he's an outstanding young man. I remember talking to him, when he was in high school. And, I don't know if it's the new system with Kirk Schrocker or what, but he's really hurt them. That's pretty clear. I felt like the offensive line has not performed as well as I thought they would with everything they had back. And I think having a new offensive line coach and new schemes and new techniques is part of that as well. So those are areas I thought would be strengths that haven't been as much. Obviously, Micah Parsons opting out hurts quite a bit. No Journey Brown hurts quite a bit. And then, I think the D-line hasn't been as good as I thought they would be. Mustafa, I'd heard good things about Hakeem Beamon. Really, Jason Alway's been the only guy you can count on there. So it's been a little disappointing everywhere. I think turnovers,
yeah,
and red zone efficiency, red zone play calling have been a big difference, too. It's not a lot of high percentage plays, and I think it's a big reason why they lost the Nebraska game for sure.
Yeah, no, I think you hit on some interesting themes. Turnovers have really hurt, obviously. Especially there have been a lot of short fields for that defense to be out there because of turnovers along the way. So that needs, you can't go minus six. You got to be plus six the next four games after being minus six in the first four. You talk about Army. What kind of interesting road has this been for Army? Because I just talked to Ivan Maisel about maybe 10 days ago, and he just went to West Point because he wanted to experience it. What's the experience been like in a campus that is normally alive when it comes to college football at one of the greatest venues in the world, Mikey Stadium?
Well, it's amazing. And I tell everybody, anybody listening, you got to go sometime if you get a chance. So it's weird, Steve, because we stay on like right off post in the famous Thayer Hotel.
Yep.
And that's where the Thayer gate is before the first gate to check-in gate to go on post. And, you know, what's interesting is usually I wake up on a Saturday morning and I look out and the cars are backed up for like a mile.
Right.
It's been so eerie waking up on Saturday mornings and there's not a single car. You know, not a single car ready or backed up or anything like that. Now, the good thing is they have let the cadets come to every game.
Okay.
So, you know, whereas so many of these games there's been nobody, we've at least had 4,500 kids who are in uniform, and that's like their release, you know, being able to go to a football game. So they've been able to provide a little bit of juice, which is nice.
Which is really nice because somebody asked me what it's been like doing Penn State games, and I'm, you know, you and I are probably the same. Once the game starts, you're looking at everything inside the rectangle. But when they run out of the tunnel onto the field, I feel like Harry Doyle in Major League with the old Bob Uecker. Hey, all right, here they come. It's like it's been a little strange in that regard. You're also doing Eagles pregame along the way. So when you look at the first place 3-5-1 football team, how bizarre is that division, Ross?
Well, it's really bizarre and really surprising because I thought the Eagles and Cowboys would both have a chance to be very good. And frankly, they've both been hit by the injury bug, but I think it's a more viable excuse for the Cowboys because of losing Dak Prescott.
That's right.
Than it is for the Eagles. I think that was probably what was most concerning about the last game for the Eagles is, you know, they're coming off a bye, Steve. You get Miles Sanders back. You get Lane Johnson back. You get Alshon Jeffrey back. Carson Wentz doesn't turn it over, which had been their main issue. And they lost by 10 to the Giants.
Right.
So every like crutch or excuse you could have kind of went out the window. You know, it was kind of like, okay, maybe we're just not very good. You know, maybe the Giants are just better than us. And I will say this too, Steve, getting back to Penn State for a second.
Yeah.
The thing about Penn State is, you know, we can talk about turnovers. We can talk about red zone. But really, from a talent perspective, they should be good enough, in my mind, against the Nebraskas and the Maryland's of the world to win anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm surprised that losing the turnover battle by one or settling for a couple of field goals, I'm surprised that that's the difference between winning and losing in the first place. You know, yeah, maybe they could scoot out a three-point win or whatever, but it just seems to me like Penn State should be good enough that it really shouldn't even come down to that.
And you know what? That's interesting because, and I feel the same way about Indiana too. That you still feel, no matter what, it's like you still feel like I still feel like I'm broadcasting for what I think is the better team. And some things just the tumblers have not fallen into place for them for some odd reason. Beyond and so I agree with you, talent wise. I mean, I don't think you said anything that's off the mark.
No, that's what's so disappointing. You know, I don't even know why you have me on your show, Steve. I said before the year I thought this would be James Franklin's best team.
Yeah, I know.
I thought they were going to beat Ohio State. Now, that was before Micah Parsons and Journey Brown. But still, I still thought they'd be obviously a lot better than this. Yeah. I don't think anybody could have thought that Clifford would kind of drop off like this.
Yeah. Hey, tell us a little bit about myfrontpagestory.com.
Well, I appreciate that because it's a Central Pennsylvania-based company.
Yep.
And it's the perfect gift for the holidays. I don't know if we've talked about it before, Steve, but here's the deal, okay? We got a few professional writers. You talk to them about whoever you want to get the gift for. So your mom, your wife, whatever. and you tell them how much you love them, how you feel about them, they write the most unbelievable story. And I've got one for my mom. My sister did, too. When you, on the holidays, when you're able to hand it to someone, it's framed, looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, the Sunbury Daily Item, or whatever newspaper, right?
Yeah.
And you hand it to them, and you say, hey, Mom, I want to do something different for you this year, so I had a story written about you. That just sounds awesome. You know what I mean? Like, I had a story written about you? Like, who gets a story written about somebody? That's number one. And number two, when they actually read the quotes, like when my mom read the quote from my sister about saying she's the only reason she's the woman she is today is because of my mom just started bawling. So I told the owner of the business the tagline should be, she'll cry, you win. MyFrontPageStory.com. She'll cry, you'll win.
That is awesome. That is great. I love that. So everybody keep that in mind, because if you're looking for the gift, that's a great gift, right? That is awesome. Ross, I know we had limited time with you. You carved out time to make it happen. Thanks so much, my friend. Great game this week with Army, like they all are.
Anytime, Steve. I will be listening on Saturday. You guys, listen, when I'm driving, I listen to a lot of college broadcasts, and I'm obviously biased, but there's not a better one. I mean, some of these college broadcasts are terrible. It's unbelievable. You guys are at the absolute upper echelon of all college broadcast teams, for sure.
Ross, that means a lot coming from you, because you're the best. Thank you so much, and be safe there on the road, okay?
All right, see ya.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Week before Thanksgiving, and it's going to be the first Thanksgiving for Luke Trillo. So needless to say, Lisa and Matt have plenty to be thankful for.
Definitely.
On this one. So, and all of us do too. All right. All of us do too. We having little Luke in the world and in our lives is a blessing beyond blessing. So, all right. So we want to make that despite all the craziness and at times insanity of what 2020 has been, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And for anybody that has gone through coronavirus, I mean, to all the families and friends who have lost loved ones to this, obviously, the depth of our condolences to you. To those of you who have gone through it at whatever level, you have our sympathy and our prayers. And look around and count all the blessings. Thanksgiving is a week from today. So look around and count all the blessings. I know as a staff we thought long and hard about the corner office, but yeah, okay. So, in the spirit of Thanksgiving. Remember the period of time he was working out of two offices?
Yes.
Yeah, that's just the height of, well, there's a list.
I do remember that well.
And don't forget, hey, people are signing up for the Magic Radio, right?
Yes, I believe spots are still open, but I'm sure they're filling up pretty quickly.
The Magic Radio is one of the coolest things in all of radio. It really is. It is in an era where you have so many places. Oh yeah, we're syndicated this, we're syndicated that, and the whole thing is like, no, local radio is so effective and so special and important, and that is a big reason why. That's really cool. Really cool. And we also have a $115,000 goal this year that we're trying to reach to help people in the Valley, correct?
Yep, for the newly renamed Here for Good campaign.
Here for Good. Love it. And now, is that officially kicked into high gear, or is there a start date on this?
Nope, we are officially in high gear. I think a little over 5,000 has been raised so far.
Wonderful. And this directly helps our friends and neighbors here in the Valley. So please, whatever you can do, and never, this is something I tell every people, I tell people all the time when it comes to donations, never, never use the word only. Now, I realize that you trying to tell everybody that, boy, if I could give more, I could. I understand that. But anytime you make a donation that helps somebody else, that's gold. That's gold. That says everything about you. And I realize when the word only is used, I realize there's a depth of desire in your heart to say, you know, I wish I could give more, but, well, whatever you can afford, might as well be $1 million. Because you still made the effort to do it. Can't thank everybody enough for the effort they make to look at their own means and say, you know what? I can do something to help somebody else. So thank you so much for that. In advance, to all of you who have made your donations so far, thank you. And to all of you who are right in that process of you're going to do it, we thank you in advance. It's that time of the year. And it's been that kind of year all the way through. Penn State will play Iowa Saturday, Beaver Stadium. Iowa will come in here tomorrow. We already know that we already know that Maryland and Michigan State will not be playing. The problem is Maryland's. The Pac-12 made an interesting decision today because they are limited on games. They started November 7th. And because they started November 7th, if they get into a situation where something is postponed, where something is canceled, can't be postponed, they don't have bye weeks to postpone to. Today, they opened the door to playing non-conference games. That was a reversal from their earlier decree from the presidents and chancellors of the Pac-12. So, in other words, let's just pick one. Say Stanford was scheduled to play a game this weekend. Stanford's perfectly fine. But the team they're facing is in a COVID situation. So Stanford would be the equivalent of Michigan State. Michigan State's fine. If Nevada were open, Stanford could suddenly schedule a game this weekend with Nevada. They could do it. They could play it. The Pac-12 will let them play it. Now, right now, the Big Ten won't do it. The Big Ten won't do it. But you know what? The Big Ten basketball schedule came out yesterday. And Dick Girardi, and I are just a bit confused by this. We don't understand why Penn State is playing Rutgers once and Michigan State once, but they're playing Wisconsin and Nebraska home and away. In this particular year, 2020 and 21, I don't see the common sense in that decision. Don't you want to keep travel closer? So you play home and away with Rutgers, home and away with Michigan State. The other one, the next is Indiana. That's three schools. Okay? There are eight schools in the Big Ten in the Eastern time zone. three of them, Penn State is only playing once. I thought the idea was to try and keep people closer to home, keep travel down. Don't, you know, instead of spending 2 hours and 10 minutes on a plane, you spend 50 minutes on the plane. I just thought, Dick and I looked at that schedule, and we just looked. Essentially, what they did was they took the same schedule and just made a schedule. They changed nothing about it. I realize there is a formula they're working with in terms of how they rotate the home and aways. I understand that. But there's 1 year you need to bag the formula. It would be now. So Penn State, and I'm not saying, I mean, this is a case of Rutgers is really good. Between Rutgers and Nebraska, who's the better program right now? Rutgers is. So schedule-wise, Penn State's playing home and away with Nebraska. Well, okay, that's fine versus a one play with Rutgers. So in the pure schedule in a normal year, you're like, okay, you feel like Penn State got the better of it. But this is not a normal year. So when I'm talking about advocating a Rutgers home and away because it's because of proximity, it's not because Rutgers is easier. I'm thinking of it from a common sense point of view based on the era. Also, load up with as many games as possible over the next 2 months. Why? Starting tomorrow, the students are off campus at every campus across the country. You have your best chance in an on-campus bubble over the next 65 days.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory. Fabulous pre-owned inventory. Sunbury Motors goes over each and every one. You know, whenever it's pre-owned inventory, you just want to know everything you can about it. And Sunbury Motors does everything they can to give you all the information they have. And a fabulous service department that is second to none. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We were talking about the Big Ten basketball schedule coming out. And, you know, it's pretty much the same. Like what they do is they give us who you're playing home and away and who you're playing in a one play. So we always get that back in, I don't know, what, Matt, April, May? We get that?
Usually.
Dick Girardi and I both thought that, hey, look, under the circumstances, you need to change this up. And it's not that hard to change up. No offense. Scheduling is not easy. I understand that. But I always have a scale. Like, let's go with 10 on degree of difficulty. Manhattan Project. Okay? How far down the line from the Manhattan Project is scheduling? 1.2? Didn't say it was difficult. There's difficulty to it, but it's not that hard. All right. So I look at it, and I thought, you know, you need to sit down and take a closer look at this thing. You know, people that are within your region should be the teams you're playing home and away. Instead, Penn State, the closest trip they have, and it's pretty close between Rutgers and Maryland. They're playing Maryland home and away. Rutgers, they're playing once. Next closest is Ohio State, home and away. Next closest trip is Michigan, home and away. Next closest trip is Michigan State, playing them once. Next closest trip after that, Indiana, playing them once. They should be playing all of those home and away. They should be playing all those home and away. And then there should be one team on the other side you're playing home and away. And at that point, it doesn't matter to me if it's Nebraska, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Iowa, whomever. All right? That doesn't matter. You play one. But for example, I would say Indiana or Purdue I'd have Indiana play Illinois home and away on the other side, and I'd have Purdue play Northwestern home and away on the other side. In other words, proximity games. Do whatever you can to keep trips down to a minimum. In the next 2 months, starting tomorrow, these teams do get an opportunity, and it won't be perfect. It absolutely won't be perfect. But this is the best shot they have of being in a campus bubble. The students will all be off campus in all of these campuses for the next 10 weeks. So let's see. Let's just take days. So tomorrow's what, the 20th? 10 days. So 41 days ends up being 61 days with everybody guaranteed being off campus, 61 days. All right, so you're talking almost, what, 9 weeks? Nearly 9 weeks. So 8 to 9 weeks with people off campus. Get as many games in there as possible. You do have one complication in there. It's not a complication. It's just a fact of life. You know, obviously, everybody has to go through finals. You notice on these schedules, there's always that gap to begin with. I believe Bucknell's finals start a week sooner than Penn State's do. So whenever I talk to Nathan Davis, he's got to schedule that week before differently because of finals at Bucknell. And Penn State, the next week, they have finals. In fact, Penn State was supposed to play Bucknell this year on the 19th, a Friday night, which is the last day of finals at Penn State. So instead, with this schedule, Penn State plays Wednesday, the 25th, Saturday, the 28th, Wednesday, the 2nd, Sunday, the 6th, because they don't want it opposite football. Tuesday, the 8th at Virginia Tech. Then the Big Ten opener is Sunday. Again, you're avoiding Big Ten football. Sunday, the 13th at Michigan. And then but that leads into finals week, which then gets you to then Wednesday, the 23rd. And then they play again Wednesday, the 30th. So you want to load up with as many games as possible during that 8 to 9 week span. Now, the 8 to 9 week span begins with 5 non-conference games. Let me see, Matt. How many games are there, Matt, between now and January 20th? I'm going to guess that there would still be maybe a dozen games left after the 20th.
I think that sounds about right.
Because they've got two in March, right?
Yeah.
Two in March. The last one's at Maryland. Let me see here. I've got to hear from Rose. Let's see. How many games are after January 20th when the students are back? Because the 19th of January is King Day. So Penn State, or the 18th of January is King Day. They've got to play one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Yeah, 12. It's a dozen. It's a pretty good guess, but, you know, after 39 years of this, I usually can get a pretty good gauge. So it's a dozen games. So they still have to play more than half the schedule. So they would play 13 games with the students off campus, and they play 12 games, not including the Big Ten tournament, on campus, you know, with the students back on campus. Yay. Now, I know you have to give time between games. I got that. I do understand that. But I would think there'd be a way you can do this, be a little more efficient about it. You know, obviously the holidays enter into it. So you've got finals week, that enters into it, so you lose a week there. Then you're back playing on the 23rd. Then you've got the Christmas Hanukkah holiday right there. So then you come back and you can play on the 30th. Then you play in the third, the sixth. I mean, I think everybody has like a weekend off built in. Man, I'd play in that weekend. And I'm just saying, these are things. For example, Penn State plays a home game with Northwestern on January 23rd. And Nebraska then on the 30th. So they got a bye week that weekend. That's after the students get back. I'm trying to think if there's another one in here. There's always two. One's a weekend, one's a weekday. Because that's how they do it. So that's the weekend. Where's the weekday? I'm just doing a quick glance at to see where the weekday comes in. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, that's normal. So maybe the weekday is early. The weekday is the 23rd to the 30th. You can't play the 27th? I don't know. There's not going to be any in the stands anyway, so this is not a consideration of like, hey, this is not a great time to play. And so we're worried about attendance, right? That's not even a consideration. Now you're just trying to play games, and these guys are just going to be sitting there. The holidays, they're not going to be allowed to go home. They can't go home. I mean, football, when it's season, they can go home when they're done. But basketball, they're going to have to stay here the entire time. They can't go home. Can't leave the bubble to do that. As badly as you want to, you can't. That's why I looked at it and I said, I realize the desire of this thing. I got it, and who knows? They may not play in any of these games. I have no idea. But this didn't bring with it any common sense.
And that's a lot of travel for Penn State, too, especially in this early going, which...
Right. Well, that's okay. Yeah, I understand that, Matt. The schedule doesn't bother me, especially when you're flying. And when you're flying, it doesn't make as much of a difference. They'll fly... the first four games are at home. Then they're at Virginia Tech. The trip to Michigan for them on a charter into Ypsilanti is 50 minutes.
Okay.
And, it's probably an hour up and it's about 50 minutes back. How about that? It's a little shorter coming back because of the jet stream. So that's okay. Indiana, you can really time out when you're leaving because you're not in class at that point. When you're not in class, to me, it doesn't matter as much. It's when you're in class and you've got to, got to get this thing back, got to go, got to leave as late as possible. Then it becomes... the timing of it. When you're not in class, which for a lot of this they won't be. Let's see. Wisconsin, the Jordan Center. Ohio State, that's a 45-minute flight. It's 35 on the way back. Rutgers is at home. Michigan's at home. Then they go out to Purdue and then Illinois. I mean, to be honest with you, I think you go out to Purdue and you stay out there. Yeah, I don't think you come back. And you're playing on Wednesday the 20th, so you'd have to miss the first 2 days of class. I guess you can bring them back and then fly back out. You could do that if you absolutely feel they have to be there for the first day of class. And the Nebraska-Wisconsin thing, which is Sunday the 30th and Tuesday the 2nd, they're not coming back from that. They'll fly out to Lincoln, then they'll go from Lincoln to Madison, and then they'll come back. You'll miss 2 days of school to do that. Except here's the other part. Are you missing 2 days of school? You can stay out there for those trips. You want to know why? Because these classes to start with are most likely going to be on Zoom.
Well, there you go.
So they can sit in their rooms and they can Zoom in on the first class of the semester if they stay out there, and they can be on Zoom for their Monday and Tuesday classes as well. So they can do that. So that part makes sense. It's just my thought process, keep the travel down to a minimum. Play as regional as possible. And don't make the trip to Wisconsin or Nebraska. One of them. And play Rutgers. In fact, have Wisconsin, Nebraska, you only end up with one trip out there. And play Michigan State at home, too. And then pick another one. They already won play with Iowa and Minnesota, so pick one other out there. They're already won play with Minnesota, the one play with Iowa. I'm trying to think who else they are on the other side that they've got home and away with. Purdue. I think they got home and away with Purdue, I think. But that's the part that struck me. Your closest is Maryland. You're okay. Or Rutgers. It's a draw between the two. So you're playing home and away with one of your closest, mileage-wise, and you're playing a one play with the other one. Huh? Different times have to bring with it different solutions. All right. Now, the glory of it is I'm at least talking about it. And poor Doug is sitting there, and Doug's still wondering what the heck's going to happen.
Well, the only thing we know still right now, January 2nd, is the start. And the Patriot League, as I've mentioned before, is splitting up into three geographical regions.
See, but that's adapting to the times.
Exactly.
That's my point. All right. Let's take a break. One final break. Great to have you with us tonight. Guy Gadowski on the show. Ice hockey opens tonight at Minnesota. We'll talk with Guy Gadowski on the show this evening leading into that game. They'll drop the puck at 8:30 this evening. And James Franklin in the final half hour tonight from 6:05 to 7 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.